T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It's Thursday. We've got football tonight. We'll talk a little Steelers-Browns in just a moment, but everyone woke up this morning, or maybe you saw it late last night, and pretty big scandal happening with the Boston Celtics. Their head coach, Ime Udoka, may allegedly have had an inappropriate relationship with someone who worked on the Celtics staff. It's been deemed consensual. But now everything's just sort of floating in the air, Perloff, because the report is that Udoka is likely to be suspended for the year, yet we have not heard anything from the Boston Celtics themselves about what's next and what's going on.
Yeah, it's a kind of a wild scene now because it's 4 o'clock Eastern. You would have thought the Celtics would want to say something and not have it hanging out there. There's just so many details. And that's the thing. It's really hard to comment on because you get the feeling that there's more to the story.
No doubt. Of course there's more. And when left to our own devices, we're just going to start filling in the gaps here. Can I give the Celtics a little advice on something that I think would have worked here? I think that they could have... somebody leaked this to Adrian Wojnarowski, right? So this is maximum embarrassment for Ime Udoka and whoever the woman is who's involved in the story. But for him, his family, everything. Like, it was always going to be embarrassing, but this is maximum embarrassment. It's on every podcast, every TV show, every radio show.
I don't totally understand what the difference is if it came from Woj today, because he would have been suspended for the year anyway, and we still would have all been left wondering what happened.
Okay, yes, we would have. Here's what I think I would have done if I were the Celtics.
Okay.
I would have, before this got out, I would have suspended Ime Udoka, and I would have put out a statement that said, we're suspending Ime Udoka for a year.
Right.
We are, because of an inappropriate relationship. We're not naming the woman at this time because she is a private citizen who works for our company, but she's not a front-facing person like the head coach of the basketball team.
Okay.
Right? Like, you and I are public people. Ime Udoka is a public person. We understand our business is going to be out there. We sign up for this. Obviously, him a lot more than you and me, but you get the point. We put ourselves out there. We expect some of this to blow back on us if we do something wrong. She may have done something wrong and inappropriate, but she is also not a public figure.
Right,
so you say, we're not going to name who this person is. This is who's going to be elevated as the next, as the interim head coach, you know, and we took care of it internally. And, you know, Ime is going to do some soul searching, or he's got some issues to figure out with his family, and we'll decide if we're going to welcome him back in a year's time. Boom. Done.
That's great, but what difference? The outcome's exactly the same as if Woj broke it this morning or last night, whatever.
Well, because now we're wondering, is this like a Me Too situation where maybe Udoka was taking advantage of his status? I mean, they're saying it's consensual, and I think that's meaningful and on purpose to try to tell the public that there was nothing like nefarious going on outside of an extramarital affair. But there wasn't like a quid pro quo, like, hey, if you sleep with me, I'll promote you.
Right, right.
There wasn't anything like that.
But how would a Celtics statement stop us from thinking that anyway? What difference does it make? Same exact thing. The Celtics aren't going to tell us anything. Then we're left to speculate whether they spent. I'm not sure it matters when it came out. It's still the same speculation. I mean, just because the Celtics said this person, we're not going to tell you who it is, that doesn't mean people wouldn't go looking for the people just like they are now. The same thing would have played out. I don't know if it makes any difference.
You know, it might not have, but it would have felt a little more open and shut. Like, hey, the Celtics got their hands around this thing. You know, they realized something bad happened. They've taken care of it. They have a plan. Case closed. Media Day's on Monday, everybody. Like, buy a hat and hold on to it, I guess. But, like, or Jason Tatum's probably going to have to answer some uncomfortable questions that I'm sure he's going to sidestep in a classy way.
Well, okay, but don't kid yourself. If you'd woke up this morning and Ime Udoka was suspended for a year, your head would have exploded. It would just, like, it would have been,
and it's salacious.
It would have been a shocking story. Or if he'd been fired, everyone would be like, what is going on here? We need as much detail as possible. And that's where we are. Yeah, you're right. Now it's just ridiculous that they haven't told us anything. Like, well, what do they think? They can go away?
Well, right. Like, all of a sudden, we're just going to forget and move on? Maybe. But, you know, maybe we would have if it felt like it was an open and shut case. You know, now it's like just this open door where everyone is rushing in to try to form an opinion or figure out what's going on. And it's definitely not fair to the other women who work for the Boston Celtics, because now everyone's looking at every woman who's on the website with a front office job and wondering, are you the woman?
But if the Celtics had made an announcement, would that be the same exact phenomenon?
I get it, but it would have, I guess.
I don't think there would have been this closure.
I don't think so?
The Celtics statement, when it comes, is going to give you the closure you expect. I think there's a lot to explain here. And I think the Celtics are going to have some sort of lawyered up statement that isn't going to explain anything. Do you expect the Celtics statement to come out and really put a spotlight on what actually happened? I immediately don't believe whatever they're going to say.
Don't believe it.
They're going to give the most vanilla description of whatever happened. They're not going to give us any real detail.
Okay, so you're going to give a vanilla description of what's going to happen. Where is it?
I don't know.
Legally, I mean, there's a contract. He may have violated if there's a clause that says, like, you know, you can't have inappropriate relationships at work, or you cannot do anything that brings embarrassment onto our franchise.
Maybe they're working. Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they're working on the legalese of how we get all our T's crossed and our I's dotted on the legal aspects. But I expect the Celtics to have a statement, and then I expect everyone to be scratching their head saying, well, what really happened here? And nobody's going to believe this current story.
Another thing that they could have done was you could have had Ime Udoka resign, right? And then with a sort of like wink, nudge, nudge, we're going to hire you again once this blows over. You know,
like how the Boston Red Sox
you know, fired Alex Cora in the wake of the Astros scandal and then hired him back.
Right, except that was a little more harmless. This is real life stuff, you know. The cheating scandal was sports cheating, but this is.
But they clearly didn't want to fire him. They could still want him to be the coach.
Right. But these are allegations of the kind of impropriety that is real problematic.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a different situation. It does remind me a little bit of that Alex Cora situation, but they clearly wanted him back.
Yeah,
maybe that's a good analogy. I'm curious what happens. What if an interim comes in and he's awesome this year?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, if all of a sudden the Celtics go back to the finals, I mean, because that's kind of the bar that's been set.
I don't expect that. It's going to be hard for them to get back to the finals again. Even with Ime Udoka, it's a very competitive. What if we had a different representative from the conference? How many years in a row now? Five, I believe. So, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. I don't expect anything from this statement. There's not going to be anything in there. And who is going to give us the answers here? Is it Ime Udoka? Is he going to speak?
I think it's going to be a lot of reporting around it.
Yeah, like he'll have to be quiet for legal reasons.
I think you're going to get a lot of Shams and Woj. I mean, that's like the other part of this story, which is there's this constant competition between these two guys to break this news.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame that, it's a shame all around. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up tonight, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, major questions about what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be doing at quarterback. Is it going to finally be time, finally, I say after 2 weeks, to see Kenny Pickett over Mitchell Trubisky? Our good friend Ryan Leaf has made it to the studio.
Whoa.
He has fought through the chaos that is New York City like a true New Yorker that Ryan Leaf now is.
You know, I'm looking over at the glass of Ryan. That is not a true New Yorker yet. He doesn't have that hardened look.
No, he's great. He's dressed in all black. That's step one. See, I got the black on today. Everyone in New York wears black. It's like we're just constantly at a funeral. He's going to be a New Yorker before we know it.
Yeah. We forgot to tell him that the mayor, the president, the UN, and every official is in town clogging up traffic. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Also, there's a famous Yankee that's going for this crazy home run record, and people are going to the stadium like right now. So, you know, that adds to it, too.
Yeah.
Everyone's going uptown. Anyway, Ryan's going to join us next. We're going to talk a little college football with him. We're going to talk a little NFL. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff continues on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He made it. He made it. He challenged the New York City subway and won. That is not a sentence you probably thought I was ever going to say about Ryan Leaf, who has joined us here in studio right now, host of The Straight Line with Ryan Leaf, and that's just one of the 1,000 jobs you have. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, you bet. I'm actually pretty proud of myself because my wife lived in New York, and she thinks that I'm going to absolutely just end up in the Bronx one day and Brooklyn the next and everything like that. And so I'm all by myself, and I got on the wrong train to head this way. But luckily, I figured it out after only one stop. That was special. Got off, came back. I feel a little bit – I'm proud of myself, even though I am a big, you know, rube from Montana in New York City.
So. I loved your story. You had this great podcast this summer. Did it come out this summer about
– It came out last – like at the end of last fall, yeah.
The night that you were second in the Heisman – and you were driving around New York. I seem to remember that you have a history with this city. It's not your first time, second
no,
time
you've
not, been in
but
many,
I've never
many times.
Done the public transit in this city, right? Yeah. And so this is new to me. I mean, we moved to Connecticut. I commute into the city on the train, and then I take three stops on the subway to Fulton and Broadway down by World Trade Center. I got
Look
it figured
you,
out, right?
With the lingo.
Right, so I'm figuring it out. I love this city. I love the buzz of it. I do love the fact that I get to get out of it at night and be kind of, you know,
someplace
just bought a place
quiet.
On 3 acres and it's just quiet. And I like that, and so does my son and my wife. So we're enjoying
it. And it's got the Perloff and Gray guest rooms that we can stay at. I've seen the blueprints, Maggie. It's awesome.
You've got a floor plan.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest, psyched you're here on the East Coast. I think you're going to love. And also, too, I know, getting a little personal, from a work standpoint, too, being sort of, there's a lot going on here. I know you had a lot going on in California as well.
You're exactly right. Immediately, right?
Yeah.
We film my show out of the Good Morning Football space, and they've asked me on for a couple times, and then today I was offered a weekly weekly segment
Love
on
it.
Good Morning Football. So, I mean, that's not available to me unless I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just a great opportunity for what I'm trying to do with my career and be at home more, I think, with my family than I was when I was on the West Coast.
Well, we've got a surprise for you, too. We'll get to that in a moment. We really want to make Ryan feel like at home, new New Yorker. We've got a special New York delicacy because today is Tasty Thursday. Hint, we did not get you a slice of pizza. We went a little bit a little more deeper cut than that.
Yeah.
Like, this is the B-sides of New York City food. So we'll get to that in just a moment. We want to talk college with you. We want to talk NFL. And congrats again on everything. It's going great. Congrats to your Cougs, too. Big win over Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. Can you diagnose Notre Dame for us right now? What is going wrong? Is it fixable this season?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people, they just anointed Marcus Freeman as like, this is the answer,
mm-hmm.
right? Guy never called a meaningful timeout, you know, had to deal with everything that comes with college football. So, I mean, you shouldn't have had expectations so high. I think that's the best thing. And then the way they went out and played against Ohio State, I think they'd made the expectations even higher. So They should have probably lost to Cal last week. I would expect a 7-5 type of season for the Fighting Irish. And you know, I don't know what the fan base is going to how they're going to react to that. I think Marcus Freeman and his staff will feel pretty good if this team is 7-5 and they're bowl eligible. But you know, the expectations are just so high at Notre Dame, and what do you do from there?
Well, you're hitting a sensitive spot. This summer, we had to pick a college football team for Maggie because Maggie went to GW that does not have one, and you're not going to believe who she picked. It was a
they
former
recruited
opponent.
Me hard on Twitter.
Yes, it's a Pac-12 team. You want it?
You're surprised.
It wasn't not the Washington State Cougars.
Okay.
You are now sitting in the room with a Cal Bear.
Yeah, they came. They came for me on Twitter. They welcomed me into the family. They got the mascot sending me messages. They sent me a lot of gear. I'm in.
You know, that's not a bad team to be a part of. Justin Wilcox is a great head coach. He finds ways to win. If they win that game last week against Notre Dame, they're 3-0 heading into conference play. So he can scheme up a defense. And supposedly he turned down the Oregon job this offseason, right? So he believes in what they're trying to build at Cal, and I do think they can be a winner. I don't know if they can win the championship there, but they're going to compete. They're going to give teams problems week in, week out. So that's a good pickup for you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, stay with Oregon for a second. Like, how do you diagnose, I mean, what happened in week one, then what we saw with an upset? I mean, I don't know what to think about the Ducks.
Wait, you played against Bo Nix, right, too? He was there. He was still in college football in the late 90s because he's been around so long. I feel
I think
like
that was his dad, but yeah, I get your point here.
No, I'm just
saying.
I just feel like Bo Nix has been in college football for longer than I remember.
You know, Oregon Ducks for me, I think what it showed in that first game is that Georgia is far and away better than anybody else. I mean, the gap between 1 and then 2 through, I think, 11 is huge. It's gigantic. And Oregon, you know, is getting beat like everybody's getting beat by Georgia. What they did the next 2 weeks is they came back and said, we're going to do what we do. We're going to be our identity. And they thumped an FCS opponent, and then they took on a team that had just upset Baylor and BYU at home. I called that game last week, and it was from the get-go, it was over. So they go to my alma mater this week and play Washington State, and I think this is going to be an incredible game. Washington State's 3-0. They play great defense. They're going to have to figure out a way to stop Bo Nix, get to him. He hasn't been sacked yet this year, and that's having played Georgia, too.
Wow.
He has not been sacked this year. So I like my Cougars in this game, but Oregon is playing very, very well right now.
Wait, can I follow up for a second? Yeah. You think there's that big of a gap between Georgia and Alabama?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's significant. I don't think that they won't be the ones that won't be playing in the SEC championship against one another, but I think it's significant. Whatever the margin of victory in that national championship game, I think it's widened because of what they have put in place. And don't forget, Nick Saban taught Kirby Smart how to do this, and he's been, I think, the best coach to emulate what he's done and build and make it better. And Georgia's something special. They rebuilt on defense. They are really, really good.
I have like sort of a general college football question. You transfer portal and NIL. A lot of the teams that got a lot of headlines this summer for NIL, like Texas A&M, Miami, those guys, a lot of them are not there yet, the NIL players. And the transfer portal, sometimes it takes a little time to gel. Did we overhype some of that buzz around the NIL and transfer portal schools?
Well, I think it's the fear of the unknown for anybody. Anybody, you know, when there's something that you don't know and you fear that, it's just common knowledge that that's the way it goes. The NIL aspect of things, I think, is going to do a better job of giving parity to college football, actually.
How so?
I think that a team like my alma mater, Washington State, is going to be able to go get a five-star guy that they never would have been able to before. Because instead of all five stars going to Alabama and getting like a fraction of the pie, they can go to Washington State and get the whole damn pie.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that some of these smaller market programs are going to be able to steal and get some big-time football players and maybe, you know, shorten that gap between the elite and the less elite when it comes to that stuff. As for the money aspect of things, if you are trying to generate as much wealth as you can because this is your highest possible earning potential, then by all means, you go where that money is because you know you're not going to be playing at the next level. Everybody thinks they're going to be playing at the next level, but only 1% of that 1% plays at the NFL level for a sustained period of time. So if you have the opportunity to make a substantial amount of money because your earning potential is so significant at this time, you have to take it up. And the teams that have that ability are the ones you talked about, the Miamis, the Texas A&Ms, the Texases, all those teams are able to afford with collectives and alumni to buy the best players they can.
And when do you expect those teams to sort of hit their stride with that? Because none of them have done it yet.
Well, you know, people talk about money and what that does. I got paid $31 million and I was considered a bust. So, I mean, you gotta understand that money doesn't make you a good football team, right? It may get you what you consider good football players, but if you're not able to gel together and build a foundation, I mean, it doesn't matter. So you hope that the money that you invest, and the guys that are investing this money, they're to drop in the bucket type of guys, right? They're guys that are willing to, you know, toss away $14 million for a suite in a stadium for the season.
Yeah, the boosters are crazy.
Right. It's like they don't care about the idea of like an unproven kid coming to college who may never play, and you give him $1 million type of NIL deal. You know, it's just, we'll see how this looks in about 10 years, what the landscape looks like. I think right now it's just a wild, wild west, and I do believe there's going to be some sort of regulation around what this looks like.
Yeah, interesting, and it will go state by state. You're listening to The Voice or watching Ryan Leaf, depending on where you are. He's the new host of Straight Line with Ryan Leaf. That's awesome. Hear you on Sirius XM, of course. We're going to be watching you now on Good Morning Football, which is so cool. You're going to be doing a weekly there. All these amazing things. Okay, so we're fascinated by Urban Meyer always. forgive us, you know. Sometimes it's like watching a train wreck. Right. You can't look away. But obviously we know he's a valuable commodity in college football, no doubt. So you look at Nebraska. You look at Arizona State. I don't know. Do you feel like Urban Meyer is going to be back in college football? And if so, do you think Nebraska has a prayer?
No. I think that no to the second answer. I do think he's going to be back in college football.
Okay.
Because he has to knock that bad taste out of his mouth of what went down. I mean, it was awful.
People
look at him and laugh at him because of that. Yep. And that's just someone who's got a sizable ego, who's been very good at his job for a long period of time, can't have that sit with him. You know, I understand what it feels like to have a negative connotation placed on you for a long period of time and how you have to try to redeem yourself in some way, shape, or form. So I expect him to be on a college campus once again, but he's going to look for the right fit. Like, Ohio State was the next step for him after leaving Florida. Like, that's a place that's been dominant. It's a blue blood. Nebraska has been in the past, but they haven't won for a significant amount of time, and it would take a real rebuild to do something there, I believe. So I don't know if they actually have the right opportunity, because he's got plenty of money.
Right.
They could throw as much money as they want at him. That's not going to be the selling point to him ultimately.
Yeah, for Nebraska, like, say they went after Dave Aranda, Baylor, or the Matt Campbell at Iowa State, is that a move up for these sort of mid-level coaches now? I mean, is Nebraska better than Baylor right now?
Well, I think the fan base and the money, right, is different. But no, I don't think it's a step up. Mm-hmm. I almost think it's a step down, and in particular how Iowa State has been performing and what Dave Aranda has done so quickly at Baylor, right? They won a championship in his second season.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess you go to the Big Ten. I mean, when you go to the Big Ten, I mean, it's Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Like, Nebraska doesn't have much of a chance in these conversations.
Mm.
But in the Big 12, Iowa State, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave next year,
right.
And Baylor, every year they're going to be fighting for a championship. And that's significant for a head coach, because the expectations that exist when you're in the Big Ten, much different than when you're in the Big 12 when you're winning.
Do you think that was part of Lincoln Riley's thinking when he left Oklahoma? To go to USC, that he didn't have to go into the SEC, or
he likes challenges. So I don't think for a second that he didn't think that he could coach in the SEC and find a way to win. I just think that he got an opportunity to build something of his own, and that's meaningful to him, right? He took over for Bob Stoops, and it was pretty much the transition was pretty seamless. Mm-hmm. You know, he made it his own in what he did, but it was still Big Game Bob's program, just as much as when he left. Bob was the first guy back in there to coach the bowl game.
It always seemed like he was kind of just around,
right?
Yeah.
And this was an opportunity for Lincoln Riley to kind of go out and either prove to the world that he is his own man, or, you know, fall flat on his face. And as we can see early on, it looks like he's built an identity really quickly there in Southern California.
Ryan Leaf is our guest. He's the host of Straight Line with Ryan Leaf. He's good enough to come in studio here with us, talk a little college football, talk a little NFL. Who's your favorite college quarterback to watch right now?
Right now, I mean, this is really hard for me to say, but Michael Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. at University of Washington, his first three games has looked unstoppable. I mean, accurate, forceful with velocity throwing the football, and just knows where to deal it. I mean, they made Michigan State, a team that a lot of people thought, I mean, they had the AP poll had them at 11. I don't understand the AP poll a lot of times, but they had them at 11 and they dominated them. And so, I mean, I really like watching him play. He's never been able to stay healthy. The best thing for him is he has not been sacked once this year. We'll see if that changes when they play Stanford this week. But then when you go down south, I think, you know, Will Levis for me is another really good quarterback out of Kentucky, a guy that I think is going to have a good opportunity at the next level. He's big. He's strong. You know, I kind of like his swagger and how he goes about his business. So those two guys right now are the guys I really kind of pay attention to and watch how they play the game.
Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, obviously big recruit, a lot of physical talent. If you're a coach, do you go for the steady veteran in Cade McNamara, or do you go for the more upside in J.J. McCarthy?
Well, I mean, I know Jim Harbaugh really well, right? He was my backup quarterback in San Diego, you know, kind of mentored me through the early years in the NFL, and I've never met a more competitive man in my life. So he's going to take the person that is flashy and can get you the most yards and everything like that. He doesn't want to just resign himself with a guy that can, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and we win a game 9-6. You know, he'll take that, but he wants to be explosive on offense and score a lot of points.
Like, didn't he go to Colin Kaepernick after Alex Smith?
Yeah,
that sounds a little, that was consistent. How good is Michigan?
I think they're really good. I got them number 5 in the country right now. You know, I think that this setting up for an Ohio State-Michigan matchup. I do think Ohio State may struggle with somebody like Penn State or even this week with Wisconsin, where I think Michigan runs the table again and goes into that matchup for the Big Ten title.
Ryan, stick around. We're going to talk a little NFL with you next. You came in studio, so we're going to ask you every question we have. We're going to empty the notebook. Continue with Ryan Leaf, host of the Straight Line with Ryan Leaf, new show. He's new to New York. We're going to feed him some true New York food break, and we'll put that up on our social channels.
I love it. I'm starving.
We asked if he had any dietary restrictions, and what came back was no. So
we
went full throttle.
Yeah, Ryan and I share that in common. We like to eat. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Maggie,
you
too.
You came to the right city.
Maggie's a foodie. We're good company.
I'll partake. Okay, bottom of the hour. Time for a CBS Sports update. Here is Rich Ackman. Success. It's been a success. Ryan Leaf is here. He's the host of the new show, Straight Line with Ryan Leaf. And he's just recently moved to New York City. So we wanted to give him some food, you know, typical of the area to get him ingratiated. We could have gone pizza. We could have done all the, you know, stereotypical stuff. We gave him a bagels and lox, which is bagels, smoked salmon, and cream cheese.
Yeah.
Guy devoured it. He loves it. You're a New Yorker already, man.
Love it.
Have you ever had pastrami? Like a pastrami or rye from Katz's Deli or anything
I'm not a big rye guy.
Okay.
I like pastrami, but I am not a rye bread guy.
Okay. All right. Good thing we know. We know for next time.
And you've had matzo ball soup.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Every time I get sick or Anna's sick, we always get the deli there in L.A. and get some matzo ball
soup. Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
So L.A.'s got good delis.
Yeah.
So we are checking some things off the list here with Ryan Leaf. Bagels and lox checked off the list. We talked college football with you last segment. If you miss any part of our show, you can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. That's really convenient. Go rate, review, subscribe, all that. Let's talk a little NFL now. And because Perloff is affectionately known around here as our sad dad, we are going to do a segment that may fall in this category called Do You Believe It with Ryan Leaf.
Get it?
There we go. Mm. Do You Believe It? We'll give you a bunch of NFL things. You say, yes, you believe it. No, you don't. And let's start with Justin Herbert, who we found out today is practicing lightly, I believe, for the LA Chargers, that he can be effective, Ryan, even if he's playing with broken ribs. Do you believe it?
Yeah, I believe it. I think he is incredibly talented and is as tough as they come. Mm-hmm. So I will say this. I think this game is very competitive this week. He's not going to be his normal self. Without Keenan Allen, I think the Jaguars make this a very close football game.
Yeah.
So you know Justin pretty well. Is he ready to be that top five in the NFL quarterback? I know he's got the numbers. We've been debating.
Do we ask Ryan about the big debate?
What was the debate? I had him in the top five. Maggie had him just below.
Here's my argument. I love Justin Herbert as much as anybody, but I can't put you as a top five quarterback in the NFL if you have not played in a playoff game yet.
I could argue that.
Thank you. Right, Ryan Leaf gets it. Why doesn't
But our job is to
it?
Speculate and look ahead.
Right, I get your. I know what you do, Perloff. I've been watching you do it.
He's on to your games.
I think he's easily capable of being a top five quarterback and has the personality to do it.
Yeah.
He's so competitive. We got a chance to go away out to Bandon Dunes in Southern Oregon and played 3 days of golf with one another this summer, and I just saw that personality. So humble yet so competitive in everything he does and what he wants to be, and he wants to be great, and he's so capable of. You saw the throw when he couldn't even run a yard in that game last Thursday, yeah. And then makes that throw on fourth down. That's the guy.
I know. We'll get right back to Believer. Quick question about quarterbacks. You are the most competitive lie. Maggie and I talk about this a lot. Most of you guys would just kill somebody for a W, right? I mean, Peyton Manning looks big and goofy, and Tom Brady's competitive, but like, are all of you guys cut out from the same cloth?
To get to the NFL, you have to be.
Yeah.
Like, you watch these documentaries of Tom Brady's, of Derek Jeter's, and Michael Jordan and all this thing. And people disliked them growing up because of how competitive they were. They just became the greatest. We were all that way. We were disliked because of how competitive we were. We had to win at everything. And then when we don't become the successes that, let's say, those guys have been, it's fuel for other people to go, I told you, he was such a jerk growing up and stuff like that. Well, we had to be that way to be as successful as we were. And that's just the way it is. We want to compete. We want to compete at everything. We've got to win. And if we're not, we want to run it back, and we want to embarrass you in the process.
But everyone thinks Justin Herbert's this nice, quiet kid. Yeah. I think that people don't
He's
quite...
a killer.
Same with Mahomes. Yeah. I told you, they're all killers.
Eli. Is Eli a killer?
Yeah. Are you a Patriots fan?
Yeah, they're all killers, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, our next Do You Believe It with Ryan Leaf. This is Perloff, who said Trey Lance will never start another game for the 49ers. Do you believe that?
I'd hate for that to be the truth. But unfortunately, there's a real possibility. You're going into your third year on a three-year contract. He hasn't played since before the pandemic because they moved it to the spring season. He has not played football. And it just seems further and further away. I hope not. So I'm not going to spin into that narrative. I think he gets healthy, comes back as the starting quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo somewhere else next year playing, and he has a fresh, clean slate to be the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, our next one, Do You Believe It with Ryan Leaf. This is the real Tua, what we saw in the fourth quarter against the Ravens.
I don't believe that. I do think that things got set up pretty well for him. They were down by so much, they weren't going to run the ball. They were going to throw it every single down.
Yep.
Some mistakes on the back end by the Baltimore Ravens. I don't think Tua's a bad quarterback. I think he's a very good quarterback. You know, is he great? Can he play like he did in the fourth quarter every week all year long? The likes of Justin Herbert, the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen's. Is he able to do that?
Yeah.
If he's able to do that, then we can start having the conversation. Now, the way people look at him is so wrong. You know, the expectations that exist for him are completely false, really. He was special in the second half. Now, if he can follow that up against the Bills this weekend, then he's got the weapons now. That's a big difference.
Why does the media seem to have their claws out for him? At least before last week, at least they always have been criticizing him.
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. I mean, I thought he was going to struggle coming into the NFL. I had him like fifth or sixth on that list that year. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow for me were 1A and 1B, yeah. And so I knew there was going to be some learning curve and some growing pains for him. I just think everybody just assumed he was the fifth pick in the draft. Boom, right? He's go right away. Ryan Fitzpatrick really gets the call his rookie year more than him. New head coaches, all the things that play out. I think this staff, his teammates, they like what they see every day in practice, and then he made big play after big play to get them back in that game. And that only that type of stuff can reinforce it. People may never give him his just due. It just may never happen, right? That's just the way it is, and I don't think he cares too much about what other people have to think about him.
Well, also because we kind of look at prototypical quarterback as someone who looks like you, you know, biggest guy, and coming in, and Tua's obviously not that. Okay, two more for you, Ryan Leaf. Do you believe it? That Mitchell Trubisky actually has this job for the whole year, like Mike Tomlin had said before the season. Obviously, Steelers play the Browns tonight.
They're 1-4. If they're 1-3, I think that could be a problem, right? So we'll see tonight. He's got to play better. He just does. I think he's a better option than Kenny Pickett right now, simply because he's a rookie.
Yeah.
But that's not going to last for long. I had Kurt Warner on my show today, and I asked him that question because he went through something similar. He was sitting there. Eli Manning got in as a first-round draft pick.
Yep.
What do you do in that scenario? He's like, well, you got to go out and play well, and you got to play almost better than well. not just win games. We won. He's like, we won our first 5 out of 7 games.
Yeah, Kurt was playing well. They made the switch because they were always going to make the switch to Eli that year.
Yeah, and that's what he said about Mitchell Trubisky. He said, this switch is going to happen inevitably whenever that does. So when it does, for Mitchell, the best thing for him to be able to walk away is that he did everything he could, and he was as much of a winning quarterback at that time as he could be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of criticism. I've seen it growing for Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator there. It doesn't look like that offense is giving Mitch or eventually Kenny Pickett that many chances yet. They need to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, the more and more I watch his game plans and his schemes and things like that, I think that it wasn't so much that Ben was so old last year, than it was more of what Matt Canada was bringing to the table offensively, you know, and sometimes it's funny to watch defensive-minded head coaches, great head coaches that continue to kind of run through offensive coordinators sometimes.
Yeah.
Not finding the right fit, what they want to do. You know, we'll see how this turns out. Maybe Kenny Pickett's the answer there. But they have weapons. Their offensive line is something to be questioned, and we'll see how they adapt tonight. And the weather tonight, the winds are supposed to be gusting like crazy. So we'll see how much the quarterbacks really have much influence on the game tonight.
Last Do You Believe It with Ryan Leaf, host of The Straight Line with Ryan Leaf. This is Tom Brady's last year. Do you believe it?
I do. I think this is his last year, regardless of outcome. I just think that, I mean, he's used to the spotlight, but for whatever reason, it feels like it's starting to turn a little bit.
Yep.
Like there's a peak where there could do no wrong. You had a base that disliked him greatly because he was the Patriots quarterback. But everybody essentially loved him. And for whatever reason, there just seems to be a shift in perspective. There's nothing to warrant it at all. Zero to warrant it. But I think he'll be, you know, he'll find out pretty quickly that being in the booth is so much better because you can prepare like you do all week long to be a quarterback, and then you never leave that stadium with an L, ever, no matter which way you look at it. And that's why I love to get to do it every week, too.
We were just talking about Sean Payton. Will he decide to coach at the end of the year, or will he fall in love with that job at Fox? I was saying, I think that's got to be a nice lifestyle for Sean Payton.
Yeah, you want to be busy. You know, that's the biggest thing for me. Like, I have to be going all the time. Idle hands for me is like, that is, Andrew. And so it's imperative that these guys are doing something. So if they feel fulfilled by doing something like that, it's significantly different than coaching. You are on the go coaching all the time. And when you're doing the analysis aspect of things, I mean, you come into work really one day a week.
Yep.
And that's a huge shift and a huge change. So you wonder, you usually see coaches come back. It's rare that you see them stay away and stay out. I mean, heck, you watched Bruce Arians down on the field last week. I mean, it's innate in them to keep doing it.
I know. Yeah. There's only so much golf you can play. I know they can play a lot, but there's only so much.
I know you got to get out of here, Ryan. Real quick, we have another show debate. We do not agree on Nathaniel Hackett so much. You're a second chances guy.
You're leading the witness. Don't set it up like that.
Do we give him time to figure? It's been bad the first two games. I'm not going to argue that, but I think you got to let him learn on the job. And some people in this room think that you really can't learn on the job as an NFL head coach.
It's difficult. It's difficult to learn on the job as a head coach. But I mean, you hired him. What are you going to do? Fire him? No, you're not going to fire him. So, I mean, you got to allow him to do it. It might be at the end of the year, look at it in the mirror and go, oh, we made a horrible mistake by Nathaniel. But he's got 17 games. He's got 15 more games to use one of the NFL's best quarterbacks in the business in Russell Wilson and figure out a way. And that's what he's got in front of him. And there's a real chance that if he doesn't figure it out with about that amount of money they spent on Russell, that he'll be gone after the year's over. But I'm not ready. They're 1-1. They won.
Yeah,
they beat a pretty darn good Texas defense, the Texans defense. So let's just relax a little bit before. I do think they get beat this weekend though. So
I'm not calling for his job, by the way. I just said I think he's on the hot seat already.
Oh yeah, definitely. Of course he's on the hot seat. I mean that's all anybody can talk about. I mean the mistakes that he made at the end of the game. But you know what? Mike McCarthy's still making these mistakes, and he's been coaching for 100 years, right?
Andy Reid's one of the winningest coaches ever. He's not good at time management.
Those two guys have something in common. They both won Super Bowls. Unfortunately, Nathaniel Hackett has not reached those heights.
Well, I do think that was bait. That was bait that was out there for Aaron Rodgers. You know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it could have backfired. All right, Ryan's going to go. You have to get out of here. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, thank you.
Really
for
appreciate
me. Thank
it.
You for the locks and the bagels. This is good. I might take like all of them. That
take
you
them all.
Here.
Take
yeah.
them all.
Yeah,
all
but here's the problem. Now, every time you come, we have to have a new giant
I
meal
like that.
Waiver,
this
which
is fun.
We're willing to do.
I love that idea.
Of course you do.
Just only come on Thursdays. That's when we do Tasty Thursday.
Well, awesome.
That's my day with Good Morning Football, being in the city. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, awesome, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Ryan's going to exit here kind of stage left. He's got a car waiting for him, and that was awesome. Love it. Love talking college. Love talking pro. Thank you, Ryan. Have a safe flight.
And he didn't make fun of our "Do you believe it?" pun.
I was worried.
Yeah, yeah.
I was worried he was going to be like, "God, you losers."
Let's let the audience in on this. The pre-show meeting was, should we go with turning a new leaf? What were the other ones? You had some really bad ones.
Well, the internet giveth. So all you have to do is look up leaf puns. And they were just all there. We're like, he's probably heard every one of these before. But
yeah, falling leaf.
Do you believe it seemed to fit? By the way, so Ryan thinking that the Broncos are going to lose right now. They are one of the 9 home underdogs in the NFL in week 3. San Francisco 49ers coming to town, and the 49ers right now are 1.5-point favorite, of course, on DraftKings. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of those home underdogs, but this would be a really – this would be a big statement, I think, by the Denver Broncos. With San Francisco coming in, San Francisco with Jimmy G now, this is a legit team that people think could be in the mix in the NFC. To beat them at home, I think Nathaniel Hackett, without any major screw-ups – would silence critics like me, at least for a week.
Yeah, for a week. This is a much more significant win than beating the Houston Texans. Yeah. But you know what's funny about this? If you think about it, and let's be honest, if they lose 28-10 and there's no late game decisions, no one's going to really kill Nathaniel Hackett the same way we've been killing him the first 2 weeks. Because
no.
That's what people are. But if,
he's given us reason.
Yeah. If the game is 28-27 and they lose, then we're going to kill Nathaniel Hackett.
The closer it is.
So
yeah,
if I'm Nathaniel
it's
Hackett,
better to be a blowout, actually.
If I'm really worried about PR and at halftime it's close, I just say, guys, not this week. Just pull back. Put in the backups.
Everybody
yeah, yeah.
Off
I don't
the
need
ball.
I don't need a close game at this point. I'm on a razor's edge here. I do not need to think in the last 2 minutes of this game.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like I've seen coaches just praying that it's not a close game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Many of them have coached lately for the New York Giants. Pat Shermer, Joe Judge. These guys did not want to make these decisions at the end of games. They had no clue what was going on.
Yeah, that's a little harsh, but yes.
Well, I mean, the record shows it.
I mean, Joe Judge, as I recall, was screwing up calls in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, didn't matter.
Pat Shermer couldn't get it right.
Yeah. No, I'm just rooting for Hackett as a pure underdog play right now. Just,
as a person.
Yeah. The other thing too, as Nathaniel Hackett is the first year coach for the Broncos, and I've seen a lot of pictures of him. I'm like, you know what? He's an NFL lifer. Yep. I know he's older, he should have figured this out. Dude's 42. I thought he was like Vic Fangio. For the pictures, I did not know.
Maybe
he was
he's
that
aged
young.
That much over the first 2 weeks of the season.
I thought he'd been around a lot longer because his dad had been around a lot too. But he is relatively young for a head coach.
Yeah, but he's had multiple jobs, multiple teams.
Still, 42 for a head coach is that's still a baby.
Are you kidding? Sean McVay was 32.
Right. But he's closer to Sean McVay than Vic Fangio, who also got a head coaching job. I had no idea.
I know.
What
and how
doing.
Did that go? I mean, not awesome.
I'll tell you. A lot of coaches come in and are not good at this stuff. I keep saying Jimmy Johnson was 1-15. Do you realize what today's media would have done to him?
Yeah, but that Dallas Cowboys team didn't have a Russell Wilson. It had a rookie Troy Aikman at the time, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And also, we're not expected to be contenders, which the Broncos are expected
to
be.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because now we would totally let Dallas go. Come on, we would kill him every single day. 1-15 for the team with the star in their helmets? We would destroy him.
Didn't someone famous once say you are what your record says you are? You know?
No, that's my point. Jimmy Johnson went from 1-15 to winning the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Yeah, but he also had, from college, had a lot of bona fides, obviously.
Yeah.
Very different from Nathaniel Hackett.
That's
anyway,
true.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, the biggest question heading into Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that. We'll get to some fun lines for you guys as well. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.